Yeah, give me hotel security. Yeah, I'd like to report a leprechaun in your hotel. No, a leprechaun. Yeah, a little green guy. He tried to kill me! Hello?
Now it's garbage.
Another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
And I'm Joe.
And we're talking trash today.
Talking trash.
Talking trash indeed. This is the show where we review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, and the much debated and often forgotten flicks of the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we believe if you don't know what the worst movie is, well, no, you can't really review without the worst movie. You know what I mean? You need the worst movie.
You have to have a worst movie in your brain already so that you can compare to ones you've already seen to like ones you've recently seen.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And you know what? This is March. And, you know, Joe brought up to me, I said, hey, what are we doing on March? What are we going to do? And she said, to celebrate your Irish heritage, we should do the leprechaun films.
Is that what I said?
No.
Because I don't recall those words.
You actually said, hey, next month, we're going to do the leprechaun movies.
Yes, or you pay me a shilling.
Yeah.
And you didn't want to pay a shilling because I already cost too much as a human.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you brought it to me. I mean, to be honest, you did say March leprechaun films. Why? Because what?
Because St. Patty's Day.
Exactly.
And you're Irish.
And you just wanted to throw it in my face and say, hey, nothing makes me think of St. Patty's Day more than the leprechaun.
I mean, not really. You can name a bunch, like, you know, green beer and shamrocks. And
that's it.
Green clothes. The luck of the Irish. Pot of gold.
You're burying yourself deeper.
Gingers, yes. These are all things that I really adore. I adore. I'm married to a ginger.
So let's fantastic.
Celebrate all of those wonderful things. Yeah.
Yeah.
And horror movies, which
let's
I love.
It. Let's do
so
the
much.
The Leprechaun franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So today we're skipping one and two. Let's just say that. We're skipping one and two and going to the odd sequels, the last four that Warwick Davis starred in. So we're starting today with 1995's Leprechaun 3, or as we thought it was called, Leprechaun in Vegas.
Ah, lovely golden palaces, completely full of riches. I'll rip them off and rob them blind, those dirty sons of bitches.
Which it should have been.
I thought it was called Leprechaun 3, Leprechaun in Vegas.
Yeah, yes. It really should be. It's kind of a missed thing. Or a leprechaun goes to Vegas or something
yeah.
like that. It's just odd that they just called it 3.
Yeah.
All, you know, I don't know about you, but I think I love when sequels, especially horror movie sequels, have these crazy alternate titles.
Mm-hmm.
No one does it better than Chucky, who has purposely done all the Chucky, like all the horror movie sequel names that mm-hmm. they could,
yeah.
right? So do they have like Revenge? They did, right? No? They had Son, right? They did all that. Bride, Son, the cult.
Seed of Chucky.
Oh, that was called Seed. It wasn't the Son of Chucky. Yeah.
Can you get it right?
Well, I mean, why wouldn't they have when it's usually the horror movies always have the son of something.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Which yeah. They kind of got it close. They were using that. The only thing that he hasn't done is gone to space, but the leprechaun has. And we'll talk about that next week. But right now we're talking about Vegas. So this movie was directed by Brian Trenchard Smith, who did Dead End Drive-In and Blood Tide.
Oh, Lord.
We've
seen both of those, haven't we?
Yes, we have. That's why I named those. He also does. He also directs Part 4 and Warwick himself. And by the way, we said Warwick Davis. already. And we should point out that if you don't know who he is, stop listening, go do some homework, come back.
Everybody knows
because
who he is.
He's a damn legend. And in Hollywood, to me, I mean, this guy has been a part of everything that we love. He is Willow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he is so great. And I don't know why his Leprechaun isn't as loved and hailed in the horror community as some of these other guys, like Robert Englund's Freddy and all that kind of stuff. He needs to be up there because, yeah. My God, he's so much fun. These movies are only really passable because of him.
Yeah, for real. He is the star of this show.
He really is. yeah.
By the way, can I just make mention of something? Just because there is a W in his name, we have been pronouncing his name wrong. It is, he pronounces it Warwick.
Warwick?
Warwick, not Warwick, but Warwick Davis.
Well, I suck.
No, you don't suck, because I kind of say it, when I'm saying it fast, I
how did
say
you it like how'd that. You find that out?
It's online.
You see, it's always confusing me, especially when you see a name for so long that you don't hear, you know, pronounced.
Yeah.
You kind of like just assume it's going to be Warwick.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is we did watch that documentary about him.
And he was on that amazing show where they went around the world with what's his face?
Yes.
Ricky Gervais produced.
They did pronounce his name Warwick.
Yeah.
So Warwick. Okay. Got it.
So we suck. I was just praising the man and now I just shit all over him.
No, you didn't. We fixed it. We're better now.
But you know, that's what I'm known for on this show. So I am known for completely destroying names of people.
Are you known for that?
I think I am.
I don't think you're known for that.
I'm pretty much known for destroying the the English language altogether.
No, so, you're not.
But you know what? It makes it more fun.
Oh, God.
Not only do we butcher the movies that we watch, we also butcher the names and places and things.
What? I'm here to party, okay? I don't know what you're here for. Things happen.
I even butchered the opening this time.
Oh, shit!
A little token of my esteem. It is exactly what it seems. Made fresh daily at exactly 9 o'clock. It comes from my chelady. You can keep it in a crock.
Look, on the show, we talk about the movies we've seen, and we give out the plots, we spoil it all, and we just discuss it. And I gotta say, the first thing about this movie that I know is I haven't seen this movie before, and watching it this time, I was like, I don't think I've seen this movie. And maybe it's just because when I did, I forgot about it already, because I don't remember a damn thing about this movie beyond Vegas.
Okay, well, can I just say something? Like, I feel like the plots of these movies are all the same. So we're just pretty much watching the same movie over and over again.
It's him in a funnier spot.
With like, different actors.
Different actors and him in a different location.
Yes, it's a different location. So he goes on a killing spree. He wants his pot of gold. He needs his coin.
His shilling.
Now, me boyo. I smell me shilling. Tell me where it is, or there'll be another killing.
Excuse me, a shilling.
Do not forget to be extremely offensive to the Irish culture.
Yes, yes.
Because this movie loves potatoes and eyebrows. Oh, and it God. Really knows that it wants it, like, you know what? We're going to do Irish, we're going to do bad accents, we're going to do potato eating and eyebrows. So, look, okay. The movie... This should be a sign of things to come. Well, I don't know if we've already said this is on our list of how you know you're watching a bad movie, but long opening credits without anything.
Yes.
You know, like we've talked about and complained about driving opening credits.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what people love to watch is just people driving while you're watching credits roll.
It's our pet peeve.
And it's usually something that really is the mark of something terrible. Yeah. But here... We just get credits on a black screen. Nothing to it. I think that's even lazier. Why not just scroll over like Scrooge McDuck's fortune? You know, all the shillings. Why not just show like a whole field of four-leaf clovers? And do anything.
Yep.
You know, if it's Vegas, show us the Vegas Strip.
Yes.
That's all you have to do.
I mean, yeah, the neon lights and stuff. But this is taking place in 1995. So this is like Vegas where it's old school Vegas, kind of.
It still has all the cool stuff. I mean, Luxor's already built.
Yeah, Luxor's been around a long time.
Yeah. And so we have some of those cool things on the strip still going on. I mean, they do have the neon graveyard. They could have shown a lot of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Instead, black screen with horrible green font. It's and I was going to pause it to see how long it was going, because there's definitely one thing I know about this movie is it was trying to pad time out.
Oh, you can definitely tell. And definitely tell. Yeah.
But you know, the funniest part is when the movie gets going, I have a blast. It's a damn blast.
It is
so stupid and cheesy. It's like your friends made a home movie, but it's actually entertaining.
It's literally an hour and a half of Warwick Davis just saying his lines, the rhyming, like usual.
Yes.
But like whoever writes his lines is fantastic.
Oh my God.
Because it's so funny.
So that's a funny thing about this movie is that he loves this director.
Mm-hmm.
As an actor, he said he loved this director because he knew exactly how to get like his money's worth on the filming of the movie. And do you know how much this movie cost to make? Do you have a guess?
Oh, God. They weren't filming it in Vegas. That was a dupe, obviously.
When he was on the streets?
I don't know.
You saw him. He was in front of casinos.
I mean, can they just edit that in?
Nope.
I don't know.
They were there.
All right. If they were there. Okay. Well, let me say that this movie cost $1 million.
It did.
$1 million?
Yeah.
I got that on the nose?
Yeah. It might have been a little over, but maybe 1.2 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
But on release on VHS, it was the highest grossing at its time of release. It was at the highest grossing video cassette at the time of release. Which they actually have a number, 55,000 units sold. Now, I don't remember if you remember this, but when a cassette sold, like a VHS, when it first released to the video stores, they would sell those things for like $100.
Yeah, they were expensive. Yeah.
And I think a lot of people forget, but it sold extremely well. That's actually pretty good. He was talking about the director, and he was saying, like, the guy knows exactly how to do it. He knows exactly how to make the humor. He's like, this is where the movies kind of nailed what he loved about it. He said he just loved doing the jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And he said all the set pieces they came up with, all the ideas were, like, brilliant. He's like, it just really brought home the humor of it, which made it more entertaining to do and be a part of. Mm-hmm. And he said he had a blast doing it.
I mean, you can tell that everyone working on this movie had a great time.
Well, maybe not the actress, but I think that everybody else might have been having a great time.
Well,
and he, in particular, as the leprechaun, seems like he's having so much fun.
You know, I got to give it to him, though, because, like, it can't be a good time for him wearing that prosthetic and stuff. Like, it's got to be annoying.
He seems to love it.
But he's doing a great job in that makeup and, you know, the outfit. I think the outfit's perfect. It's just so perfect.
He did 6 of these. So, you know, that's kind of crazy. Now, the movie, right after its terrible opening credits, gets right into it with what should already set up how much fun this is.
Mm-hmm.
We have a pawn shop on the Vegas Strip, and a guy comes in and brings a bag. This guy has been through some shit. He's got an eye patch, he's got a hook for a hand, he's a mess.
he's missing a leg
and he looks like he even has a box on his back. I don't even know what's happening.
What
to
is
him.
That
yeah I didn't know it was supposed to be a hump. I don't know. And he brings this bag in and says, I need money, to the pawn shop owner. And he unravels this sack that he has brought and put down on his table, and it is the leprechaun statue from part 2.
What's amazing about this is that this statue easily weighs like a ton.
Yes.
He is carrying this over his shoulder with one hand. He has a hook, so he can just have two hands to use. This thing is that light that he's just flinging it over his shoulder.
I actually think this is a funny joke. When he sees the pawn shop owner sees this statue, and it has the necklace, the famous necklace around
it,
the medallion that was put on him and froze him. He says to him, "What is it?" And then the guy with the hook says, it brings you good luck. And he looks up and down at him and says, well, I see it worked for you. I was like, okay, I'm having fun already. And he says, whatever you do, don't touch the medallion. Oh, yeah, sure. And he goes, I'll give you $10 for the statue. And he goes, rawr. He actually growls at him. And then the pawn shop goes, $20. And he takes it and runs out.
This is like the best opening scene in a movie. I'm telling you. I was rolling.
I don't know about this being the best part, but once Davis is released.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, when he gets released, so like, the derelict guy or whatever, the handless guy, he tells him, don't touch that medallion. So what does the guy do? He
instantly takes the medallion
off the neck.
What I love is that he knows after, you know, he takes the necklace off and goes and researches it on his old computer.
It's an IBM.
He finds a link that is a video of explaining leprechaun lore.
It's in cartoon form.
It is the best force exposition you've ever seen on a movie.
It's explaining the whole movie.
It tells you everything you need to know.
A leprechaun is very territorial. He can never tolerate another leprechaun crossing his boundaries. One leprechaun can be aggravating, but two can be devastating. With that in mind, let's review what we've learned about leprechauns. Number one, his power lies in his gold. Without it, he's just another gnome full of mischief. Number two, each of his gold shillings will bring a wish come true to anyone who possesses them.
And best thing about this joke is that nobody is around for the bits that they need to know about.
Right.
Nobody ever hears the one important detail.
They always leave the room when the thing is talking.
Don't make a wish on it, or the leprechaun will come and get you. You know, or don't, instead of making a wish, destroy the money.
Yes.
And no one ever listens
Nobody
to that.
Nobody hears that. Yeah. Nobody hears that. Because at that point, the hell is already unleashed. And so they're too busy trying to, you know, run for their lives.
So, of course, what we just said ensues. The leprechaun is released. He comes for his shilling because he took the one shilling. When the leprechaun is released out of the statue, the pot of gold appears in his spot. And he sees it and takes one of the shillings out. And this, of course, angers the leprechaun, who attacks him. But he has the medallion, so he's able to burn the leprechaun off and have him disappear. Right? Yep. But they have a fight, and he steals a pot of gold and runs and puts it into a safe in the back room, but then realizes while counting it, I'm missing one shilling. And so he goes, and this is the biggest pawn shop of all time. The back room to this place is a warehouse.
It looked like a prop room, like a movie prop room.
You know what? It probably is a prop room, actually. He knows that one guy has the shilling, so he has a fight with him, but he's unable to, like, they have to keep going back and forth. The leprechaun, he bites his ear and one of his toes off.
This is insane. Like, this guy, I mean, I don't understand how this guy even could function after his ear is bitten off. But then it gets better when he loses his toe and he just puts a Band-Aid on it.
He puts a
like nobody would call the police after this whole incident ensues. Like, this guy is just like, it's normal for him.
Yeah.
I know, it's just like so bizarre. It's craziest opening of a movie.
And of course, the movie's not okay with just being offensive to one nationality.
No,
because he says instantly when he bites this guy's toe off, Indian food, so spicy. And I gotta say, if you don't already know, the leprechaun doesn't like talking unless he rhymes, which is so much damn fun.
Oh, God. His dialogue is so worth it to watch this movie just because it's hilarious. And he delivers it with such like enthusiasm and fun. And you can just tell he's having a good time.
Yeah.
I'm a leprechaun, me lad. And you're a greedy thief. For trying to steal me gold, I'll be giving you some grief.
So, what happens is the fight goes on. He actually tries to barter with the leprechaun, which is already a bad idea.
Yeah.
And of course, the leprechaun is able to trick him into getting the medallion taken away from him with like a fishing line. And they fight, and he wants the one coin, and he can't find it. So he's asking for where's my shilling? Where's my shilling?
My shilling! A lucky sign. The gold inside will soon be mine.
And while doing that, he's strangling him to death with a phone. And he doesn't realize that the shilling fell on the computer. And so he kills the pawn shop owner before he can find the one shilling. So he's angry. Now, it's really odd, and that's one of those things in the movie that doesn't really make sense. It's one of those lore things, because he can smell the coin.
Yeah.
Throughout the movie, he's always smelling it.
It just seemed like this opening, like you were saying, padding for time.
Yeah.
Because honestly, he could have just snapped his fingers and ignited this guy on fire and ended it.
Yeah.
But this scene went on for 20 minutes, just them, like, you know, him getting bit and him trying to, you know, take a swipe at the leprechaun and them just fighting back and forth. It went on for 20 minutes when this thing could have ended in 2 seconds, because he could literally do anything, leprechaun.
That's true.
He could snap his fingers, he could disappear, he could make things happen.
It's only because he can't do things to him because of the medallion.
But he didn't have it, like, out, like, visible the whole time.
It was always on him, and he tricked him into putting it under a hat. And once he did that, he was able to attack the guy.
Yeah, if he covered it up.
Yeah.
So,
which is odd, because he also uses magic to make something pull the necklace away, the medallion. Mm-hmm. Which makes me question why he can't do that automatically all the time. Why can't he attack things around it if he can also touch it? Like, it's odd.
Yeah.
But who knows? So when all that is happening, we are introduced to our main characters, right? Which is a kid driving, who's a young kid.
His name is Scott.
His name is Scott, and you'll know that because they say it a lot. This is John Gattens, who is shockingly... what do you want to know? You already looked into it?
I mean, I had to because I was like... so intrigued by him.
Which part did you look at? The screenwriter?
He's a fucking writer.
Yeah, he's the writer of Flight, Kong Skull Island, yeah, and Summer Catch. But even better, his first two movies are Witchboard 2 and Pumpkinhead 2.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh
my God.
And then, crazy enough, he did three sequels in a row. Horror sequels in a row. Those two movies, this movie, and then he does Gods and Monsters, which is a great film,
yeah,
with Ian McKellen and Brendan Fraser.
This guy's amazing.
Amazing, yeah. Kind of a shock.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Very dorky in this movie.
Very dorky, and
but he grew up really handsome. Pretty handsome guy.
His name is Scott, and he's a dork. So you know, this movie's really coming for me.
Scott, oh my God.
Really coming for me. I'm glad there wasn't a lot of redhead jokes.
Oh my God. Well, I mean, there's Irish, so there's that.
I mean, that's just, the potatoes was enough. And then he's driving on the Vegas Strip, and then he sees a woman who broke down in her car, who is another main character. Name is Tammy. She is played by Lee Armstrong, and she never worked again after this film. So that's not a shock.
I mean, I don't want to be rude, you know, but she is really bad in this movie.
Oh, no, Scott! Scott, help me, please!
She seems uncomfortable. They have her in this one outfit throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
And I can see why. I mean, I don't think that she's the worst because the movie that she's in, but I can understand that it must have been uncomfortable. I couldn't find anything out about it, but
her line delivery is not great.
It's not great. It's all like first take. Yeah. It's all like test runs, and it was all used.
Very,
you can see.
Very pretty girl, but she's just not a strong actress. She can't play a lead.
No wish for you, darling. Now I'll peel you like a grape.
Yeah, and the movie like really hangs on her and Scott. Mm-hmm. So, of course, her car breaks down and she's hitchhiking. And, of course, Scott is the one that stops for her. And this is the meet cute. Scott is a dork. He says stupid things that sound bad, but they're not really bad. He's like, you know, asking her if he knows anything about working a gear and stuff like that. And she's like, what are you coming on to me and all that?
No, the engine in your Volkswagen Bug is not in the front, it's in the back. And she's like, yeah. And she's like, that's basically the extent of what I know about cars. And he goes, oh, so you don't have an axle rod in your diggity clencher or something like
that? He says, you've never worked on a rod before? And then she says, what the hell are you saying to me? And he's like, no, he's explaining the engine. So it's like the meet cute is, I'm a dork and she's whatever.
Yeah, he's a dork.
Yeah.
Have you ever blown a rod before?
I beg your pardon?
The engine, I meant. So you got your pistons and your rods, and you don't want to know this, right?
No, actually, I don't.
He's on his way to college. That's the big setup there. He's on his way to college, and he has to drive, for some reason, to Vegas, which is odd.
Where is he going to college? I mean, he could be going to the University of Nevada.
Yeah, but... is that, do you have to go through Vegas to get there?
I think so. He actually looks his stated age of not 21. But she works in a casino.
Yeah, she is.
She's obviously at least 21.
Yeah.
And so she's like, oh, please take me to my job. I'm late already. So it turns out she's a magician, but she's not a magician. She's actually an assistant. And so he takes her to Magical Shamrock Hotel.
Oh my God, I forgot. What is it called?
It's called the Shamrock.
It definitely is the Shamrock.
Shamrock Casino.
Yeah.
It's so on the nose.
It's too on the nose, but I kind of love it.
It's so dumb. But like...
What happens next is that Scott, for some reason, is into her. And he is willing to go after her and then ask if he can come into the casino. Which is really funny because she's told... She tells him, you can't come in because you're not 21.
Mm-hmm.
You get thrown out. That's not true. You just can't gamble.
Right. Kids walk through casinos all the time.
And because you stay there. But you usually can't go near the tables. I was there. I was in Vegas when I was under 21.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really sucked because you couldn't go in close, but you could walk past. You can look.
Yeah, you can't put your hands on the machines or anything. They're going
to
get you.
Yeah, and if someone wins and you're next to them, it's also like a no-no.
Yeah, they'll throw you all out.
So he's just like, no, you can't. But he goes in anyways, and he's so obsessed because he walks around the tables and everything, and he sees people winning. Now, the people who are winning in this movie are like cliches. Like, so odd. There's, first off,
Bugsy Siegel.
Yeah, there's a guy that looks like Mr. Belvedere. Like, I don't even know what's, he's like in a, he's got an umbrella under his
is it like a arm. Bolo hat?
Like a whole.
Is that a bolo hat? No, yeah. No, a bolo tie. What's the hat? The bowler hat.
The bowler hat. Yeah. It's like a gray bowler hat with a suit and a vest and the whole thing. He's winning. There's a priest. With two women on him, which is another cliche. God.
I was like, this is the worst cliche. The priest is committing debauchery in Vegas. Come on now.
And I guess these are people who lure you into wanting to play. Yeah. Is what they're kind of setting up.
But, you know, we are Vegasites, you and I. We have been to Vegas no less than 16 times in our relationship. And I can tell you that these slot machines and tables, I mean, it just looked terrible.
These are
not slot machines. These are like those pieces of crap that are used as props in like, it looked like old-timey 1950s shit.
Well, you're right, because they actually use an abandoned hotel and they made it into a casino for the scenes.
Ah, okay.
For this in particular scenes, they did.
Shamrock
yeah.
Hotel and Casino.
And it's all in L.A., I believe. Yeah, and I want to point this out real quick.
I told you they didn't film all this in Vegas. They probably did
the interior shots. Yeah, of course not. Yeah. I got to point this out. His name might be Scott, but I think that he shares a little bit more with you because watching him walk around the gambling and also wanting to gamble reminded me of you and the fact that you just said we've been there way too many times. Yeah. Yeah, we've been there way too many times.
And
Joe is so excited to watch gambling.
Okay. First of all, I like roulette. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I have played roulette many times. I have fun with the wheel. I like it. I have a good time.
However, I do not. I'm the one that's like, you're winning. Get out.
you know what? If I'm up $20, you tell me to get out. I'm like, no. Mm-mm. I am going to stay for another 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. I'm going to win. That's it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know what? We have always come home from Vegas with money.
Because that's me.
Yes, it is you. Meanwhile, I'll lose the freaking farm.
Exactly. And I set this up because Joe is Scott in the scene. Because the next thing he does is he whips out a check. And he has a check for $23,000. Right?
$23,000 that his mama gave him for college. That will cover tuition. His room and board and all that stuff. He cashes this check and takes $23,000 to the roulette table and gambles it all away. However, we meet at this table Loretta. Loretta is the dealer, and she has fixed the roulette wheel so he keeps fucking losing. He loses all his money. Now let me just state for the record, sir, okay? If I had $23,000, I would not be dumb enough to lose it all in Vegas. I would lose $20,000 and keep the $3,000.
That sounds about right, actually.
No, I wouldn't do that. I'm not insane.
I would have made us book like 3 shows that day, so you would hardly be able to gamble.
Your job is to keep me out of the freaking casinos.
Yeah.
I like a good slot.
Well, you know what was funny? You brought up Loretta. I guess we have to talk about her a little bit because what I actually introduced to her earlier as she is, for some reason, hanging out in the magic room is for the show. The big show where our main character, Tammy, also works. Before Tammy comes to work in time and she gets in her outfit, the Loretta and the head magician.
Oh,
now we have to talk about
his name.
Him.
Say his name. His name is Fazio.
Fazio. Okay, fantastic.
He looks like a cross between Liberace and Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah, this is an actor named John DeMita. And I got to tell you, 174 credits to his name as a huge voiceover actor. He has been a part of every anime you've ever seen in your life.
Anime?
Everything. This guy has done it all.
Oh.
Like, and he is really funny in this movie.
He's funny.
He's very funny.
You know, he's got like really perfect hair.
He does. And he is having so much fun that it's really a joy to watch. It's kind of funny. And he's the asshole. You're supposed to hate him, but that's kind of the great. There's something funny about this movie where you kind of like everybody.
Yeah, you do.
Even the bad guys. Everybody's kind
of
fun.
Because
in this.
Everybody's like a parody of their, yes, their cliche, you know? Like, you got the overly Italian guy. You got the goons. You got the, you know, cliche gamblers. You got all of it.
You got all of it. And yeah, they're all entertaining. And I think that only adds to the kind of charm this movie is doing. It's really strange. But Loretta and Fazio have some kind of weird bond where they rag on each other.
Yeah.
And Fazio is so rude to her, talking about how ugly she is and how ridiculous she is, and her doing it back to him.
Okay, well, can we state for the record that, number one, they went out of their way to make this lady look like Peg Bundy.
Yes.
Also, they put her boobs all the way down to her belly button on purpose. So you could tell they dressed her up to look ridiculous. She looks like like what I call a Murray, you know, like one of the...
She's supposed to be a tacky.
New York, yeah. Tacky housewives, that kind of thing. That's what she looks like. And she does. You could tell the actress doesn't look anything like this.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even pick up on that because I didn't think it was going to be anything important. I really didn't know. I thought she was just going to be like a little bit in the background kind of a character. I didn't expect her to be like in this movie the whole time. Like a lot of these characters.
Yeah.
Well, of course, because... You know, the movie is what it's doing. It's hitting all those cliches. Fazio's the worst. The casino isn't the best. It's kind of a dump. And also, the boss comes in. And so now we get to meet the head of the hotel, the casino, you know, the boss. And he comes in and tells Fazio that, you know, his tricks are ridiculous. And they'll Loretta get back to work. And of course, he's flirting with Tammy, who he's trying to have sex with. Of course.
Of course.
Yeah. And so he's like joking around about it. He's like, one day you're going to say yes. One day you're going to be with me.
Oh my God.
And Tammy doesn't want anything to do with it. But he keeps saying that Tammy is going to be the draw for the casino. He thinks that she's going to be the big one someday.
Mm-hmm.
And Fazio, you're like, ah, you're a piece of crap. She's going to take over for you one day.
Yeah. You can tell Fazio's kind of a hack. He's
Oh, he's terrible. But yeah. he's so flamboyant with the magician, like the magic stuff, that it's kind of funny as hell to watch. And he's terrible. But yeah, so that's basically the setup there. And the next thing is, when, like you said, Loretta basically steals all the money away from Scott.
Yeah, she does. Oh, $23,000. And then she says, you know, he's like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I used all my money. She's like, you know, that watch could be worth something. So he takes off.
My grandfather's watch.
Grandfather's watch. So he takes off, and guess what he sees across the street?
Well, she actually says there's a pawn store.
Yeah.
Right across the street. Honey.
Oh, it's so lucky, right? So it's like right there. So that's the pawn shop that, you know, we just started our movie at. And he goes in there, and the whole fucking place is torn up. And he encounters the dead body of the pawn shop owner.
Yeah.
But what do you do when you encounter something like that? I don't know. You just touch everything. You put your fingerprints on it. You make sure you move the body. You shake it about. And
the only way, the only thing I can do to justify his actions is that, well, he can't really call for the cops without a phone, the murder weapon.
His fucking neck.
So he does unravel the murder weapon and call the cops.
Or, I don't know, run out into the Vegas streets and start screaming help.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if I saw something like that, my first reaction would not be like, oh, let me just pull the body over here and, like, let me just search his pockets and touch his face and poke at him.
Yeah.
Like, who does this?
Well, I will give Scott this. The funniest bit here is that Scott hears exactly the part he needs to hear in the leprechaun video, because he sees the gold after he calls the cops. Now, the leprechaun is still looking for his gold, is hiding behind the counter to kill Scott. But Scott hears on the computer, and he sees the shilling on the computer. He sees and he hears, well, if you wish on a coin, if you find a leprechaun's gold, you can wish on it and you'll get one wish. And so naturally, Scott heard the one thing and actually did something right, unlike the pawn shop owner. And he wishes, I wish I was back in the casino winning. And he's instantly transported before the leprechaun can kill him.
Yep. He's winning like hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so the owner of the casino, this Goomba, he comes over to Loretta and he's like, hey, what are you doing? This guy's freaking winning. Now, this Goomba has been approached by other goons. He owes money, right?
Oh, the casino owner.
The casino owner.
I was going to bring that up too.
Owes money to the goons. Like, yeah. So you could tell this is like a shady operation.
Yeah, there's something going on there. And we have to point out these two guys too, because they're also very funny.
There's the
guy who's the brains and the muscle.
The muscle's always wearing a goddamn Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, he kind of looks like, what's his face, Tom Selleck? And,
he does. Yeah. No, but he looks like a surfer dude. Like, he has, like, blonde hair.
Yes.
And it's like, okay.
And he's a mimbo.
But
the funny part is, so is the brains of the outfit. He's also kind of a mimbo.
They
have, like, nothing but weird dialogue that's just humorous.
It is weird.
And even the guy who the casino owner who they're coming for to get money from, he even says it to them. He says, like, you guys are like, I can beat you up.
Yeah.
You guys are like nothing. You guys are like dorks.
The casino manager is named Mitch.
Yeah.
And he just looks like, I mean, a cliche of, you know what he reminds me of? I think it was Dodgeball, right? Where Ben Stiller had that bad wig and he had the sides were gray. Was it Dodgeball or was it Starsky and Hutch? He said, do it.
It's Starsky and Hutch.
That's what this guy looks like.
Yeah, I love it. I love that. Yeah, I guess he does. Oh, he has all white hair, right? Or Mitch,
has,
you mean?
Mitch, he has like has the sides of are gray and everything.
Yeah.
So he just looks like that cliche. The only thing that's missing is he needs a tracksuit. He's not even wearing a tracksuit because he's a manager of a hotel.
Yeah.
But it's just that cliche.
I have to point out that the head goon that comes in with the muscle to get money from Mitch, he's so funny because Mitch says to him, what do you want? And he says, brown hair. You know, peace on earth. Oh, he says, universal health care for all. And I was like, wow, this is the bad guy? The bad guy's pretty nice.
He is pretty nice.
He actually has some good morals. He's asking for things that everybody is should be asking for.
Yeah.
Not brown hair in particular, but this guy's all gray, so, right. You know.
I mean, a box of hair dye could fix that situation.
I laughed. I was like, this guy actually wants, you know, things that are, like, good for people. This is the guy who's beating people up for money.
Yeah.
That's why I thought it was funny that Mitch is like, yeah, you guys are, like, nothing. And they're like, you're bigger than him. You can still take him, you know? Mitch actually gives Scott, our main character, the keys to his own room because he has what Loretta kind of says is that he's about to win $1 million.
Uh-huh.
Because I know they're suggesting that he's won over $500,000.
Uh-huh.
And that's crazy. He came in with 23 and he's winning that much. He gives him keys and he tells, I think Loretta tells Fazio that he's in the room and he has money and they can go rob him.
Mm-hmm.
Which, now, you think Fazio would be smart enough to wear gear to cover his face or anything?
No.
No, he even uses smoke bombs and does magic tricks while he's robbing this guy.
He goes into his hotel room while he's brushing his teeth in there. So he sneaks in and he's looking for the money, but he doesn't find the money. He sees the coin. Now, if it was something that amazing, why would you leave it on the dresser? Like, true. I mean, he left a fucking coin on the dresser.
Oh, I know. I would never let go of that thing.
I mean, I know he didn't expect anyone to come into his room, but come on.
Scott's also a dork.
He's kind of a dummy.
He's very innocent and polite and like kind.
He's naive.
And so he's so naive that he doesn't even think about anything that's happening. He keeps going, Vegas is the best.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Even Tammy saw him and was like, you have to get out of here now.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get in trouble. You're not 21. They're going to find out. They're going to rob you. This place is shady, you know? So she's telling him to get out, but he's like, no, it's the best. And I'm winning. And it's all because of you. And I want to share everything with you. And she's like, what?
Why? I just met you 4 minutes ago. Yeah.
You know, so he's like complete, like anybody could take this
guy. He's like a little baby. Yeah. But like this, so Fazio goes in and tries to take the money. But he gets a coin.
He gets the coin and he uses a smoke bomb, which he actually stays there until the smoke goes away.
It's amazing.
And doesn't leave until the smoke goes away.
Right. I'm like,
doesn't even understand that trick.
This is, I mean, he's never seen Batman, but like, honestly, like,
And he
does a little pose, he's like really hamming it up. It's amazing.
But before Scott can come after him, that's when the leprechaun has found Scott.
Oh my God. They get into a tussle and he bites him.
I will say that the leprechaun is playing in the casino. The leprechaun is having a good time trying to look for Scott.
He's at the craps table. He's having a good time.
Yeah. He actually makes that one goon spit money out like a slot machine.
Oh, it's funny. He can make a lot of things happen.
Yeah.
But it's funny too. Like nobody even thinks twice about this thing just walking around. Like he's a little goblin. Nobody even thinks twice. They're just like, oh, hey, what's up, dude?
What's amazing here is that they actually did this without permits. They brought him out in the street and filmed him walking around Vegas. And they were actually told that they cannot shoot at these casinos. I think one of them was a Golden Nugget.
Oh,
they did it anyways. And they filmed it anyways.
They filmed outside the style. Golden Nugget. Yeah.
And these are real reactions from the people walking past. He was really running around the streets like this. And there's a scene in this movie where he goes and hitchhikes. And that's real, too. And the cars kept stopping to pick him up. And they had to keep telling the cars to not stop.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Yeah. I love that piece of trivia.
Could you imagine standing there and he's walking around?
Well, you know, in Vegas these days, it's kind of normal. So, like, if we saw him walking around, of course you and I would be like, oh shit, that's Warwick Davis.
Yeah.
But, like, anyone else, you know, that's not into, like, horror or anything, sci-fi, nothing like that, they would just see, like, someone dressed up in costume because it's so commonplace now in Vegas that there's people dressed up in costumes everywhere to take photos, you know, and rip off the tourists.
I think the funniest part about when they show the outside of Vegas, I think the funniest part about it is the fact that there aren't people trying to give him porn. Because if anybody's ever been to Vegas, that's what really occurs.
They
on the
don't
street.
Do that anymore.
Well, some of the places don't, but there you can still find it.
We were just there in October, and I was handed no porn.
Yeah, we were very lucky. Well, they made it so you can't walk down the strip anymore, because they were building that NASCAR thing. Well, last time we were there,
they made it hard.
It's very hard to get around.
Yeah.
But 95? Holy crap! There's no way there would have been so much porn handed to people.
Oh, God, yeah.
I wish I would have done a scene where he got porn and he would have said some kind of rhyme to it. No, but he goes and gets, after Fazio disappears, runs out, he the leprechaun is now in his spot. And it's so funny because he zooms in and he's hovering. And you're like, what is he doing?
But he's floating and he's eye to eye with Scott.
Yeah.
So like, I'm like, what the fuck is he standing on?
You can
on?
See there's like a little stool under there on the shot.
Why? So like he...
So he can bite his arm.
I mean, I guess he would have to stand on something to reach, but
yeah.
I was like, wow, okay. But he bit his arm, and it was, like, all green shit everywhere, and he was, like, the leprechaun was, like, vomiting green into Scotty's wound.
Yeah, exactly.
So, obviously, what's going to happen here?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was like, oh, he's gonna turn into a friggin' leprechaun.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I'd never thought that for a million years.
I mean,
but he bit him. But what I love is
infected with that.
Scott stabs him with a fork, like not a fork. He stabs him with a steak knife in his forehead, and then chucks him out the window. And we get the best dummy flying out of the window,
screaming, laughing.
It's so funny.
It's like it was a rag doll. It was like a Raggedy Ann doll just being like flung out. It was hysterical. I loved it.
It's amazing, and he just lands on the street, splat, and he's got this heavy infection on his arm. But the leprechaun just sits back up, and he rips the knife off. He actually breaks it and leaves the blade in his head.
Yes, he does.
And he's like, he says something. I don't remember it. All of his one-liners are so great, but there's so many of them, I can't remember them all.
I know. I loved his one-liners.
But yeah, he gets back up to go after Scott again. Well, now Fazio's stolen the coin, so it doesn't even matter. But Fazio brings the coin, and I don't know how. I think he brings it to Loretta or whatever, because Mitch gets it. And I don't really remember how Mitch got it. Do you?
I don't remember how Mitch got it either. I think he brought the coin to Loretta, and Loretta gave it to Mitch.
I feel like... Oh, I think what it was Loretta was like, I'm telling you, the coin is what makes him win. And Mitch takes it. Yeah. They're actually talking about it. And she's like, this coin brings good luck at the table. And he says, I don't believe that. If it did grant me a wish, I wish I could be with Tammy. Mm-hmm. And so then Tammy, just all of a sudden walking around, starts getting all horny for Mitch. Now we gotta break down what happens with Tammy here, because this is wild. Tammy comes onto Mitch heavily.
Yeah.
And she's like, I want to do you on the floor right now in the casino. And he's like, whoa, baby, let's go up to my room. I knew this was going to happen. And she is going she's becoming like Marilyn Monroe, which is like a thing. Everybody always does that voice.
She's like doing that voice. I was like, okay, this is a bit extra now.
Now here's the thing I have to break down. Now, because Tammy didn't stop being Tammy. She's not a new person. She just finds Mitch irresistible.
Yeah.
That was the wish, right? He didn't wish for like more, because Tammy becomes a bondage person. She wants to see pain.
Yeah.
And I was really confused. This. I was like, well, I feel bad for Scott later on in life, because he's going to find out, this sensitive guy is going to find out that his girlfriend or whatever, Tammy, is into beating him.
It did. It was like very, like, I know that they were playing it because, you know, that's Mitch's wish to be with her, but his wish was to be with her.
Yeah.
So why'd she turn into a different person?
That's my point.
That was bizarre.
Is that who she is? Are they suggesting that Tammy's secret, like what she is into, is like bondage?
Well, whatever floats your boat, but this whole scene goes on way too long. This is, again, the padding, because...
But this is the scene that is why it's on video. This is what people are buying.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, so this is exactly what you're looking for in a B movie.
They go into his room, which is so cliche.
Yes.
It's one of those round beds with the satin tiger print sheets. And like, he's getting a lot, you know? Like, dude, we all know that you're not getting a lot. We just know that. Okay,
yeah.
Just take a look at how you are. Look at yourself in the mirror and tell me you're getting some. So So she goes into his room and she does the strip tease and it goes on forever. We don't see any breasts or anything.
Because right before she is about to reveal her breasts, that's when the coin is stolen by Loretta. She snuck in the room and she took it while this is all happening. The moment she touches it, the spell's broken.
Yeah, so Tammy snaps out of it just as she was about to take her bra off. And she's like, oh my God. So she thought she was like, you know, getting molested.
Yeah.
So she runs out. She's all upset. She needs him. Rightfully so. She kicks him in the balls.
And he fires her.
So this girl's having like the worst day ever. She leaves the room and she runs into none other than Scott. He's like, she tells him what happened. And he's like, I'm going to go settle this. You know, this guy is a piece of shit, whatever.
I wish he would have said it as intensely as you did, because he was just like, we can't let this happen.
We just can't let this happen.
This shouldn't be. This is just wrong. Yeah.
So yeah, I said it a little bit more intensely than Scott did, but yeah. So they go up to the room where Mitch is, and he's dead. He's
no.
Isn't he dead?
We have to back up. Before that happens, we get an entire sequence, is what I was talking about, why people are paying for this on video, because the leprechaun comes into the room. And finds Mitch talking about his balls because he's like, his pride has been hurt and he's sitting on his bed. So yeah. The leprechaun makes the TV come on.
Okay, but why is he fucking around with Mitch?
Like, because that's how the leprechaun does. He's a little shit.
But he's wasting time. He could be going after his shilling. This is padding.
He thinks he has the shilling.
It's all padding.
It doesn't matter. So this is one of the best sequences ever. Yeah, it's so great. This whole thing is like so mind-blowingly insane. He makes the television have a woman strip on it talking to him, Mitch, and she crawls out of the TV and she's completely almost naked, and she starts like fooling around with Mitch. And as this is happening, the leprechaun starts making infomercials, and this is where Davis gets to completely have so much fun. He keeps changing. First he's a lawyer. Then he is Mrs. Cleo, I believe, the one that used to read the fortunes.
Miss Cleo.
He's doing all of that, and he's having so much damn fun. It is so entertaining to watch. But suddenly,
it's also
the woman that's completely butt naked. I don't know who this porn star is.
But I can tell you she's Penthouse Pet of the Month in October 1994.
You looked this up?
Her name is Heidi Staley, and she has the most perfect breasts I've ever seen.
She has a fantastic body, this woman.
Gorgeous.
And they are shooting it on every angle to show you every inch of this woman. Mm-hmm. And but this is the best part. She turns into a freaky robot that has a mannequin head suddenly and breasts. And the mannequin is like holding Mitch down. And the robot is holding him down. This is Freddy level crazy. I was like, this could have been so amazing. And it still is kind of fun on this small budget. You don't expect these kind of things. Like you expect an easy death. And it suddenly he says,
you'll get what's due.
The robot electrocutes him.
It's amazing because, I mean, like you said, a lot of the budget had to have gone to this thing. It's pretty off-putting. It's like stuff of nightmares. But did you notice it also had like the huge breasts, like the actress?
It had like the breasts of the actress on it. Yeah, it was so freaky looking. And the mannequin's face.
Creepily sexy about it.
Oh, it was so weird. Yeah. God bless you, hon.
Sexy about him. Like, hold on, those boobs. Like,
we were both in shock. We're like, what?
Like, am I like wrong for thinking this robot is sexy?
Well, I love that you said, why aren't they having sex yet? Like, you were looking for it. I'm like, you think they're really going to have that? Like,
oh my God.
I could you? But right after he's killed, that's when Scott and Tammy come in to confront him.
Yes.
And they see his dead body and they see the leprechaun laughing. And so the leprechaun's like, oh, I'm going to fight you. Scott picks up a statue that looks like a pair of boobs as well and just hits the leprechaun, throws it across the room and hits the leprechaun perfectly in the head.
It's amazing.
It makes him fall down on the bed. And right at that moment, Scott and Tammy are able to run out and grab the, they're able to run out.
Yeah.
But right at that moment, the other door opens. Now, I don't know where that door is coming from.
The door
bathroom?
Coming from? Yeah.
I don't know how they have another door to leave. But that's when the two goons come to look for Mitch's money that he owes them.
Yeah, they come to collect. So they find him dead.
And the leprechaun rips the bodyguard's eye out.
It was so funny.
And then hits, and he just, now the funniest thing is he keeps using his little bat to beat the shit out of them.
But it looks like a toothpick. It's so small. How is he hurting anyone with it?
I don't know if it's like another Irish joke, but it was like one of those back in the day, the blackjacks.
Yeah.
Like the cops used to have those blackjacks. I was like, you know, they would whack you with.
Yeah.
It's like that, but a stick. And it just keeps beating them. And
it looks like a little wooden walking stick.
But it's like a whacking part on the front of it. Well, he beats that crap out of the guy, takes a gun. He kills both of these dudes.
Yeah.
He kills both these guys. There's multiple bodies all over this room now.
So half the cast is out.
Yeah. I feel so bad for Loretta because she wishes to be beautiful again. And I'm like, oh, poor Loretta. That's sad. And I guess her sexy is that she gets short hair. And she wears a blue dress. And I guess her boobs have become firmer.
Yeah, well, they go out of their way to make sure that we can see that her breasts are down by her knees. You know, like,
yeah,
she's just,
they overdid it.
They
yeah.
overdid it. Like, they made it look like Peg Bundy with the tacky, you know, leopard print clothes and the fuchsia lipstick and all that. You know, like a total over the top, you know, she looked like something right out of the 1980s.
Yeah.
But, then when she took all that off, she's supposed to be like, you know.
It's supposed to be like, and the only way we reveal. Know it's like, oh, she's gorgeous now, is because all the people in the casino whistle at her.
Yeah.
And they play the music of the overdone walking saxophone
yeah,
and
like
all that.
The hot sax.
Yeah. And she goes, for some reason, still likes to taunt Fazio because she goes into his dressing room and taunts him. And he's like, Loretta? And she's like, yeah. It's all because of this coin. And of course, she flips it in the air and allows him to take it.
Yeah. I'm like, how could, first of all, if I had something that was that much of a freaking treasure,
yeah.
why would you be so casual with it?
Exactly.
Like, lock it in a safe.
Everybody's like so nonchalant with this magic coin. It's so crazy. And Fazio gets it and is able to run out of the room and shut the door. And she's like, damn it, he got away. Anyways, there's a mirror I can go stare at.
She likes looking at herself.
She likes looking at herself now. She keeps talking about her tits, which is really funny. But that is the perfect setup because the leprechaun comes in searching for his shilling. And he says,
who the hell are you?
I'm a leprechaun, Vilas. And I'm going to make you pay.
What do you want?
Your boobs are big. Your butt is small, but still you're in for quite a fall.
What are you talking about?
Oh, well, didn't you hear? Bigger is good, but jumbo is dear. I'll give you boobs that come out to here.
He makes her breasts grow.
Like, they're over, like, inflated. Like, so, like, he blows her up like a balloon.
He keeps doing different parts of her body, though. Her lips, and she starts looking like a duck.
Oh my god, so bad.
Her breasts are growing, and then he says,
a delightful little slut, but what about your butt?
Oh my god, her butt.
So her butt starts growing until she's so big that she can't get through the doorway. And then he's like, oh, it's about to rain. So he opens up a leprechaun, like, umbrella, and she explodes.
Now that was quite a load to have to explode. What a lovely lass. I had to blow up your ass. But now I must hit the road.
Oh, man.
Fantastic.
She kind of, like, before she exploded, she kind of looked like a lot of, like, Instagram girls.
Yes.
Those reels that, like, you know, see them walking with their overdone plastic.
She looked
surgery.
Like one of the duck, the naked duck in Howard the Duck. It was so creepy looking. And I'm all here for it. This was like a Freddy Krueger joke.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't believe how fun and inventive these kills are in this movie so far.
Yeah, they are.
They're
really
wild
fun.
In this movie.
You could tell where the budget went. Yeah.
Yeah, but even they did this for like nothing. They were doing this all on the cheap. Like, and I love that. Always on the cheap and that weird guerrilla filmmaking. I sometimes yeah. produces some of the most fun stuff. Fazio has the coin and he wishes to be the best magician in the world. What's going on with Scott and Tammy is that Scott is now turning into the leprechaun.
Oh my god.
Because on the video, two leprechauns can't be in the same place at the same time. They're very territorial and they will fight over their gold.
Yeah.
And so he's becoming a leprechaun, which means he is now speaking in a
Irish accent,
overdone Irish accent.
Yeah.
He has grown bad teeth. He has a terrible, huge eyebrow now.
Yeah, he's growing like weird facial hair. Yeah,
he's eating potatoes uncontrollably.
He went to a restaurant and ordered all every potatoes.
And he starts rhyming as well, which the waitress actually confuses for the new White Zombie song. That's how you know it's 95.
Oh my God.
What's that I smell? Could it be me brother from hell?
Tammy finds him and they go looking. He's like, look, it was all since this pawn store and I found the dead body and all this stuff. So they go and find, he smells the gold in the safe.
Yeah.
So they open it and they see the pot of gold, which is where he starts becoming really infected because he's now starting to become, oh, it's my pot of gold and I want it for myself and all that. And she's freaked out and he's getting rough with her, Tammy. And he's like, I can't control it. I can't control it. We have to get out of here. And she's like, you have to destroy the gold. The only way to stop the leprechaun is to destroy the gold. And she's like, I don't want it. Let's destroy it. The leprechaun comes because I can smell it.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets there and he confronts Scott and him are now leprechauns and is a leprechaun off for a second. But they, Tammy wisely grabbed Tammy wisely grabbed the amulet and it scared off the leprechaun and it also hurts Scott, but she's able to hide it and they're able to escape.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he tells the leprechaun before he leaves, we don't even have your shilling. Fazio has it. And he's like, oh, that cheap magician. So he goes after Mitch.
Fazio.
He keeps going. He goes after Fazio, who's now doing the same nightclub, but with people actually watching him.
Yes, but he wished to be the best magician in the whole world. So, like, at that point, you'd be playing, like, bigger arenas.
That's
or
what you
venues.
Would think, yeah. You
but
know?
He's still, now he looks even more like Liberace.
Oh, it's so
so razzle-dazzle.
It looks like Copperfield and Siegfried and Roy had a kid.
Yes, yeah. Yes, because his hair is, like, he looks pretty.
Yeah.
He really does. He looks very pretty.
Oh, he really does. And he's so funny. He's enjoying the hell out of this
movie. He's got, like, that award-winning smile. He's, like, having such a good time. He's a good showman.
Yep.
But yeah, it's so over the top. But the leprechaun goes after him and he decides that he's going to take Fazio out by putting him in the magic box where, you know, the whole saw the woman in half type deal. He puts him in there, but he takes a fucking chainsaw to him and hacks him in half and there's blood everywhere.
Yeah.
So Fazio is in two pieces and all the audience are just like, completely in horror, just completely terrified. And the leprechaun opens up the box to show that he's cut in half and his guts are hanging out.
Yep.
It was so funny. I was like, oh, wow, this is great.
Yeah.
So cops everyone goes
never
running.
Come in this movie.
No,
cops are
no,
never in this movie.
No police
at all. Even the pawn store, the guy called the cops. We never saw the cops there. There's just warning tape everywhere.
There's like
that's
police
it.
Caution tape around.
Yeah, that's
but, like,
it.
There's not a single police
no
officer.
Yeah, no one's watching this.
Nobody
place.
Finds Mitch's body. No one finds the two goons' body.
Yep.
There's blood and body parts all over the place because Loretta blew up.
Yeah.
And there's not a single police officer. Like, there's no housekeeping services in this hotel.
There, no one works
there's
here.
There's literally nothing.
Yeah.
It was pretty comical.
It is so fun. And by the way, there's a great sequence where the leprechaun meets Elvis.
I mean, this Elvis impersonator was terrible.
Terrible. But we got to see the leprechaun being Elvis.
Yes. And you got to see him do the hunka-hunka burning
love. He does it all.
Yeah.
Well, Tammy and Scott attack the leprechaun on stage. And again, this is another leprechaun off.
I guess now Scott is like almost full leprechaun at this point.
Oh, me?
He's got to be shilling! He's got me shitting!
No, this is really funny, but they had set up that Fazio was obsessed with a flamethrower joke.
Yeah.
A trick, I mean. Not a joke, but a trick.
It was a trick, yeah.
Where he wanted to set a part of the stage on fire and make it like a person look like they're on fire, but they disappear. So he actually had an actual working flamethrower on the stage, which Tammy is able to grab and torch his gold.
Yeah.
Why though is the whole pot of gold there?
Well, he makes it appear because remember he says to Scott, he's like,
"Oh, because he got his last coin.
All the dreams, all your dreams will come true. You know, you have the last coin. Look at this pot of gold that you can have. You can have anything you want if you just join my side or whatever." And Tammy's like, "Well, fuck you. I'm torching this shit. We need to destroy it."
Oh, does he do it then? Because he has the choice of not burning it or joining him.
I think maybe he does it. And then who has the flamethrower.
And I know why, too, because Tammy tries to wish and he seals her mouth.
That's right. She tries to wish him to be normal again, to go back to normal. And he just, you know, silences her. But he takes the flamethrower to the gold and burns it up. But then how is the leprechaun then on fire? Because I remember he goes up in flames, too. And he just, like... disintegrate.
So they say that the pot of gold, that gold, the shillings are attached to the leprechaun. So if anything happened to the leprechaun, if you destroy it, if you destroy the gold, it will happen also to the leprechaun.
Oh, okay. So he gets incinerated as well.
We also forgot that he kills the person working in the morgue, and there's an entire hospital sequence where they... Oh, I can't believe we forgot Scott being in the hospital.
Oh my god, okay, so Scott was turning into the leprechaun, and he was going through so many weird changes, he looked like a hot mess.
Yeah.
And so...
How do we forget this? Because this might be the funniest bits in the whole movie.
It is true, you know, I don't know how we skipped over that, because this is when he was starting to really turn into the leprechaun, and Tammy took him to the hospital, which clearly looked like an abandoned, like...
Oh my god. It is amazing. Building. There's paramedics playing slot machines in the hospital.
Oh my god.
It is so funny.
Now, we know that you can play slot machines at the airport in Vegas. We know that you can play keno in the bars. You can play pretty much anywhere, but in a hospital.
It's so funny. And and it had like Red Cross on it and everything because you know. And the doctors ask him, "Do you have he's like, this is the question of that will maybe answer life or death for you. Do you have medical insurance?" And he says, do you take Green Cross? And the one doctor goes, "No." But
stupid.
The two doctors actually go in his outfit. They go in his clothes. By the way, this entire, it's supposed to be like, he's supposed to be in quarantine. And he is in a, It's like a meat freezer room. Like they have the doors for a meat freezer, and it's tiled over the place, and they're just having him on a table here. Wherever they shot this, it's just like in the back of some kind of shop, like an old abandoned shop of some sort. It's so funny.
It's like the old timey like Star Trek set, like the beep boop, you know, with all the flashing lights, but in a lab. So picture just like a generic freezer, like a generic syringe.
And I love all the jokes here. All the tests come back great. They actually have a scan. They're like, "Where's this CT scan or whatever?" And then he holds up a Scantron sheet, basically.
It was an EKG.
Oh, an EKG. Said,
"Fuck you."
And it said, "Fuck you" in Shamrocks. And then he's like, "Let me see some other scan."
And echocardiogram.
And it was all the leprechauns dancing. It is so funny.
It was just so comical.
The blood they're taking is green.
It's green.
They go into his pockets and they find all of his wads of cash that he has.
Yeah.
That Scott had. And they're like, "Oof.
Ooh.
We can order more tests." Order all of the tests.
He's like, "Order another EKG."
Yeah. He's like, "We could do this. We could do this." And they're like, "But you golf on Tuesdays." And he's like, "This might be more important." All this is that funny shit.
Oh my god.
They also kill the mortician.
Yep.
He kills a mortician, which is really funny because the mortician's dead body spins around in its chair to reveal itself. And you kept going, "How did it spin?"
Yeah, he's dead. How did it spin? It just spun around like willy-nilly. And Leprechaun wasn't even at... He was in the room at that moment, but he wasn't
hiding.
Like, there. So I'm like, how did he spin around?
I guess we just got to say Leprechaun magic. For some reason, he wanted to reveal his masterpiece. but the gold is torched and the leprechaun shoots around the room on fire and dies. And it breaks the spell Tammy and Scott are released from the spells. They're fine. They're able to leave and everything's good. And Tammy says, I still have one gold coin left. Now that's weird because the leprechaun should still be alive. But I think they might be, that's their way of leaving it hanging. I don't know.
Well, we know there's 75 of these, so.
Well, yeah. But Tammy says we can make a wish and have anything we want together. And he says, well, what do you want? It's all your wish. And she says, I have everything I want right here.
And she throws the coin, which you can hear the plink, yep. And it hits a ding, fountain. Ding, ding. But, like, what's funny about this is, okay, can I just say that I know that this is supposed to be, like, a cute ending, and I shouldn't be thinking this much into it, but these two people have literally spent no time getting to know each other.
Yeah, and then Scott actually quote, and just like the real Scott here, he quotes a classic movie quote to her. And I was like, she might just got turned off right there. She might have left him right there. Like, oof, maybe I got to second think my choices of being with this guy. He's like, sweetheart. Oh, sweetheart, looks like the whole Casablanca ending, he says to her. I was like, oh, my God. There's no way that she stuck with him after that.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to say, I mean, they just...
And he's going to college. Does he still have the money? We don't know any of it. And he was going to college, and she's going to, what, follow him? Like, what's their plan? Like,
why? They just met 5 minutes ago.
I know. And she says they're going to be together. That's what she wants.
I'm at
they
a
actually
loss.
Don't have anything.
No.
They have one working car, and she has no clothes but her, like, outfit for the magic show. Mm-hmm. And he lost $23,000, and I don't know if he kept his grandfather's watch. I think he might have, but...
Well, he never pawned it because he found the dead body.
I guess
body.
That's true. So I'm like... Do they really have anything? And I don't know. I have no clue what's the romance there? Why would they go this heavy on it? You know, I don't know. But I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, I actually had such a great
ball
time
watching this movie.
This one was really fun. Like I just the one-liners and watching Warwick Davis just do his thing, and it was just a hoot. It was definitely played for laughs. It was not a horror movie, but there were horror elements in it. Like, you know, there was some blood and you know, guts in it and stuff, and some death scenes. But overall, it was more of a comedy, like a horror comedy.
Yeah, that's kind of what you want from like a B cult movie.
Yeah.
I actually find these more entertaining when they are like this than the other ones,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Don't you wish these were like more budget, these movies? Because they would just be so much more fun.
I mean, I feel like I'm glad they don't have like a super duper budget, because then that would put more CG and stupid crappy effects.
I guess you're right.
I like the way they did this with just practical, you know, they did a really good job with it, with just throwing a dummy out of a window and stuff like that. You know, like if you did that movie today, it would be so CG'd up.
Yeah.
And it would be ruined.
I guess you're right. Well, the CG I agree with 100%. Mm-hmm. And it's only Davis that I think really makes the leprechaun work.
It's him. It
makes
him.
Me. And I actually will say this movie is a kind of a win in that B movie thing because of its cast. Mm-hmm. Because even if we didn't think she was a good actress, I didn't mind anybody. Everybody was kind of like fun and funny. Everybody was kind of bringing that like that cult movie, that B feeling.
Yeah.
And so I really enjoyed them all. Mm-hmm. Like even Scott, who is also very odd, is a main star.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is that usually you can feel a 90s movie. You can usually feel it. Like there's a 90s feel.
We didn't talk about Scott's outfit. That is very 90s.
He looked like, yes. But he also
looked like he was going fishing.
Looked like Marty McFly. But he has his life preserver was like 12 sizes too large. And he just looked like.
In this, right? Yeah. Yeah. It had like the 1,000 pockets on the front.
Yes.
And it was all denim.
Yeah.
Oof.
But everyone that they showed in the casino scenes were all wearing different types of like clothes, different wardrobe, like, you know, the Buster Keaton hats and stuff like that.
I always say it's the speed bus, you know, in Speed, there's like 100 different people in this bus. They're all like from all different walks of life.
Yeah.
Just to get like checkbox. And it felt like that in this one. You see the casino, you're like, what is this? Yeah. What time period? Is this the holodeck from Star Trek? Or what
right,
is this?
Right, yeah. Like, it just, you could feel the 90s usually, but I didn't really feel it because I feel like everybody was wearing different clothes and there was just a different feel to it.
Yeah.
It didn't hit like a 90s movie. Like, you know that you're watching a 90s movie when you like watch Clueless or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
But this didn't hit like that.
Two things I think we should point out before we give our scores of what we're going to give it. Two things to point out is it like great filmmaking? Not really. You see the microphone in this movie a ton.
Yeah, you do.
Some of them are so bad. I don't know if it's because of the transfer to letter. Like, you know, when they did full screen and all that, a lot of movies from back in the day weren't ready for that.
Yeah.
And so they kind of like opened it up. And to the point where you can see the microphone. And there's a bunch of shots in this movie with a microphone, especially when he's in the street. There's a part where the boom mic is actually following him.
Yeah, you can see it.
Very bad. And also, the version we watched, I don't know if every DVD transfer is like this. But it is really bad. It has a zoom in, zoom out problem. And it's like they were like maybe screen grabbing it from like the other video or whatever, and it was just making it blink and zoom in and out. It was very strange. So I don't know if all the transfers are like that, but that definitely kind of added to our experience a little bit.
Yeah.
But what are you going to give this out of 10?
Out of 10. Okay. I had a good time with this one.
I know.
I really had a good time with it. I mean, no, it's not perfect, but I think I want to give it a 5.
Yeah, it's a 5, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of, you know, it's in that mediocre thing, but it's like elevated enough where I'm like, God, I actually am having a fun time watching this, and I can see myself putting this on as a background movie.
Yeah.
You know, like as a fun, culty B movie in the background.
Like, I actually would enjoy watching it. Yeah, I'm crafting. I'll put this on just for like, you know, for fun.
I can see why people were renting it a lot or whatever. I can see why it was selling.
Yeah. I can see that too. So 5s?
Yeah, we're both saying 5s.
Okay. And this brings us to our segment of why we can't have nice things. This is where I show you two extremes of online reviews and how the internet destroys the movie rating system. So I'm going to give you one 1-star review and one 10-star review.
I cannot believe you can find both.
Okay, well, the 1-star review, I think there's only one.
Okay.
Someone
took it way too serious.
Yeah. So anyway, I'll give you the 10-star first.
Please.
This is titled, Gimme Gold, Fella, Me Wants Me Shilling. And this is by Lepfan.
Oh.
Lepfan.
Okay.
Okay. So, one of the best dark comedy movies series of all time. Movie snobs hate Leprechaun for some reason, but if you don't root for the Leprechaun and find the humor in it, then the character becomes cool. Then the character becomes cool, and it's a really fun movie. The only thing these movies lack is Leprechaun could drink more whiskey and get more girls. Then it would be perfect. 10 out of 10. One of the best dark comedy movies. I think the
Leprechaun
movies.
Himself wrote that.
Lepfan.
The Leprechaun himself wrote that. That's an odd one.
Yeah, you have to root for the Leprechaun and find humor in it. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, absolutely, but it's still not perfect. But then again, he wants him to have more women. And so
Women and whiskey.
Yeah, that's the important things in your life.
Yeah. So, all right. I have this 1-star review. Most of this is giving a recap on the movie, so I'm going to skip the recap. But this is a 1 out of 10. So this is the straw that broke the camel's back, eh? I know that there are a bunch of horror movies out there that really don't need to have sequels. The Leprechaun series is one of them. The problem with all the Leprechaun movies is that they refrain from horror to make them funny. I didn't find this one funny or memorable. 1 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's sad.
It is. But so I skipped over the whole, he gives a recap of 1 and 2. We don't need that. So, but 1 out of 10. Yeah.
Yikes. Because I would say that there are memorable kills.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a wild stripper mannequin, like robot mannequin, riding a guy. Mm-hmm. And there's also a woman whose butt and boobs and lips explode.
Yes.
I mean, you're never going to see that again.
Nope. It was a pretty good scene.
I would love, and we probably should do this one day, is just get all of the funniest kills written down in movies that like are so completely, you've never seen it and you'll never see it again. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely some in this movie that I would put on that list.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Like you're never going to see this shit again.
Yeah, for sure.
I would love to do that. A montage of the craziest kills in movies. All right. So now my question is this the worst movie ever made? We're both saying no.
No way.
And now, so what is? Now, we have started doing our list of movies and putting our movies on that list. Every time we do a talking trash, we're making the countdown. And so now we're on 24 films. And this is our 24th film that we've done. And we're both saying it's nowhere near the bottom.
Oh, so, you could put this at 24.
No way.
I had a good time with this.
Well, that's the question I'm going to ask now.
Okay.
Mortal Kombat 2021 is better, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. It's a Wonderful Knife?
Yeah, it's better than this.
Okay, so then it's Beekeeper.
No.
Spoiler for a future episode.
Oh, no.
Is it better or worse? Beekeeper's better.
Yeah, Beekeeper is better.
So we're going to keep going down until we can agree.
Okay.
Because I think I like Street Fighter better than this, too.
Yeah.
All right. I don't even know what we gave that. And also, the Toxic Avenger 84. The first Toxic Avenger film.
Okay, I really love the Toxic Avenger.
I do, too. So okay. It's better. That's better.
That's better.
So now we're on the Carnival of Souls remake and Exorcist Believer.
Oh, God. This movie is better than both of those movies. I hate that Carnival of Souls movie.
I can't believe Carnival of Souls is this high.
That remake is trash. It's trash.
All right, we're liking this better.
Yeah.
So this is going number 18, right before Toxic Avenger 1.
All right.
That's hilarious. Our list is hilarious. That's amazing. I love that movies like Artemis Fowl are lower than this film. No one in a million years ever thought that would be true.
I mean, I would rather watch The Leprechaun making terrible rhyming puns for 2 to 3 hours
than I agree.
Josh Gad shit out the dirt that he's eating with his big mouth in that movie.
Well, so here's my life goal right now. My life goal is to knock off the Christmas tree off the top 10. I'm living for the day where we finally get the Christmas tree completely off the top 10 and find better, worse movies than the Christmas tree. Just to get the Christmas tree out of the top 10.
Why do you want to get it out so bad?
Because it's just making me laugh that something so insanely incompetent keeps leaving the top 10. It's literally at number 8. We're going to be at the time where it's going to be out of the top 10.
Okay, let's hope for that.
I think that's funny. I just love it so much. Okay, so yeah, that's Leprechaun 3. We're doing 4 next week, and we're gonna get the whole month. We're gonna go so many levels with this. Right, we went to Vegas. We're gonna go to space, and we're gonna go to the hood. Not once, but twice.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait either.
Cannot wait.
Here's the hoping. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can please, please, please hit us up on social media. I am at Just Another Movie Night on Instagram. And Joe is at The Crafty Misfit. Go check out what she's making. It's always fun. And we thank you for listening and have a good one. Bye.
Let me go, you son of a bitch! Oh. Now that's no way to speak about me, mother. Bless her greedy soul. Right. Now that you're in place, I'll slice up your face.
Oh, no!